I want to share with you what the word this morning is in Matthew. Yeah, I just dismissed the children, didn't I? You can go to class. Is that what I said? Ain't that dismissing children? I thought I did. Anyway. Hallelujah. Matthew 7. This is Jesus speaking. He is the Sermon on the Mount. And what's the Sermon on the Mount? Starts about Matthew 5, doesn't it? Got a few chapters here, nothing but red letters, all the way through into chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. So if you want to hear a good preacher, read the words of Jesus when he preached on the Mount of Olives. Is that where it was, the Sermon on the Mount? Chapter 5 said he went up on a mountain. I don't necessarily say which one it was. But anyway, Matthew chapter 7 starts out here. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Heard a preacher say one time, when you point at somebody, you got three fingers pointing back at you. You know? Most of the translation says judged. There is a few translations out there. One said condemned. You condemn, or so you think judge is a stronger word than criticize, but if you criticize somebody, you will be judged. That was what one translation said. Judge not that you be not judged. And we've all heard people say, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me. Well, we'll see about that. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. First, we need to get cleaned up ourselves, us and the Lord, and then God will use us to help others. But that don't mean you judge them. It means you love them and help them, right? So we got to get the speck out of our own eye before we can see to help a brother or sister get the speck out of their eye. It's kind of like, if you don't think you have a speck or a plank in your own eye and you're going to try to help somebody else, it's kind of like, you ever heard the term narcissism? One who thinks highly of themselves, too highly, too lofty. There's even, if you look at that stuff and research it on the internet, they'll say it's like a medical condition. Well, a lot of times it's just a mindset. And if you want to do a self-evaluation of yourself, and see if you got a speck or a plank in your eye, look up narcissism on the internet and take this narcissist test. There's an older gentleman. He was a pastor in West Texas, a friend of mine I met out in Kansas City. And we'd get together in fellowship sometime. And he had a son-in-law that was that. And he said it's pretty rampant in America, you know, as we are spoiled Americans. And so everything in this young man's life was always somebody else's fault. You know, he wouldn't own up to his own fault and his own mistakes. So you want to take a self-evaluation, see what's going on in your own life, check that out and take that little test. I did it. And when I got done taking that test, I asked myself a question. Did I answer them questions correctly, truthfully, or did I answer them the way I see myself? And do I see myself correctly and truthfully, like others see me? Did I answer that question the way I want to be or the way I truly am? it's a deep self-evaluation, if you want to go there with yourself between you and God. What you got to lose? It may help you out. Just for your curiosity. I think it helped me. I think it did. But I always wonder, did I answer them questions truthfully, the way I truly am, or the way I see myself? We have blind spots. I got blind spots. I got areas I need to grow in. I'm thankful I got a good wife. Sometimes she'll let me know my blind spots and areas I need to grow in. Then my four daughters, I've got some that's really motivators. They really know how to motivate me, and sometimes they tell me my blind spots. We need each other. We need fellowship. Not that we judge one another, but as we grow together as a fellowship in God and we stay in the Word, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the anointing is our teacher, and God will show us where we need to grow. Because we don't want to be a hypocrite. We want to remove the plank from our own eye so that we can see clearly, remove the speck from our brother's eye. Then he goes here to say, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Because a swine will tear you to pieces. They eat animals, they eat herbs, they eat all kind of stuff. They eat grain. So you don't want to be in the way of a bunch of swine that's, you know, because they can hurt you. And do not give what is holy to dogs. You know, some people treat their dogs as a human, you know. Just don't give what's holy to the dogs. Keep things in perspective. Verse 7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. If anyone asks, for anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Us as parents, we want to give our children good gifts, right? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to you to give things to those who ask him? God wants to give us good things. He wants to grow us up in him, and he wants to give us good things. Not that we consume it on our own lust, but the good things of him, of the kingdom, that his kingdom can advance through us and in us. Right? Scripture says that you ask amiss and you don't have because you want to consume it on your own lust. I don't think Jesus is talking about just giving us stuff and things and, you know, a distorted gospel of American gospel that, you know, what some people say, the blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. No, it's talking about daily needs. You ask, God will protect you, and God will take care of you, and God will give you your needs. Therefore, what you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, we should treat others with respect if we want to be treated with respect. Scripture also says, he who has friends must himself be friendly, right? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Few who find it. Few. It's a gift of God, we find it. But if you ask, seek, and knock, God will show you the life. The gate, the narrow gate, which leads to life. He goes on to say, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. He starts out saying, judge not lest you be judged, and the measure you use will be measured back to you. And then he says, you'll know them by the fruits. So you don't have to judge, you just need to discern fruits. That doesn't mean we're called to be fruit inspectors, you know. We are to share our testimony and share with others the life of, that Christ has given us, share with others, but don't cast your pearls before swine. And I don't think we're supposed to be swine inspectors either, or fruit inspectors. But the Holy Spirit will show you when your words will fall to the ground and be of useless. He will show you when, you know, you're wasting your time. And I like to witness to people. I like, you know, kind of like I've heard the term the Baptist Army. They'll witness to anything that moves. That's good. That's where I was. That's, you know, just share the gospel. Share the gospel, and the word will not come back void. Because if you share the gospel with them, if they haven't heard before, they are accountable for that. But then there's some that will reject the word, turn and trample under the foot, like them swine, and come and devour you. That's only the Holy Spirit knows who that is. Because you never know who you're touching, how your light is shining in someone else's darkness. You know, yesterday we was at Jenny's brother's house, and his wife Amy's family was there, and then you know, when we get together, you know, sometime in the evening, if we're kind of hanging out for a while, somebody will pull out a guitar, somebody start singing, and if we start singing, somebody's going to be worshiping, and Jesus is going to be glorified. And then Amy's mother, right before we left, she thanked us and hugged Jenny and really thanked her that for her son, the presence of God coming on that front porch just by living life, she thinks that had an influence on her son. Don't know him, don't know what he's into, but just living life day to day, work, whatever, you never know who you're touching. And your light is shining. Even when you don't feel like your light shining, your light is shining. And these children see you. Adults see you. And these children, they learn pretty quickly. I had one of my children the other day, Miracle, 9 years old. She's got siblings. Siblings don't always get along. And sometimes you just never know what they're going to say. But they were arguing. And the little Miracle, she just popped off. I don't like it when you get in the flesh. You know, perfect example of her being in the flesh, right? Thank you, Jesus, for godly children. Teach us all how to not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. So beware of false prophets. You'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by the fruit of their life. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you can't know them by the fruit that they say, because some people are good salesmen, and they can say good things. And they can walk the They can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. But you'll know it in their fruits. So you don't necessarily always know if somebody's being truthful with you, but time will tell and their fruits will show. Okay? Just because somebody has a good talk doesn't mean they got fruit in their life that's bearing good fruit. Time will tell. Time will tell. You get to know me better, you hopefully I bear more good fruit than bad fruit. But I know I've got room to grow. That I do. Because he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Then Jesus goes on to say, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't want to hear that in words. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But I need to stay with Jesus in order to do that. And I know Jesus wins, and if I stay with Jesus, then I win too. If you stay with Jesus, you win too. Yes, there's been a lot of stuff I've done in ministry. There was a time we worked in deliverance. We cast out a lot of demons. I was young, you know, thought everything was a demon. We cast it out, got rid of it. Maybe it was a little too zealous, a little too young, too much zeal. Was doing what we knew to do. We was walking in the light we had. But I've got to work on today in the future and stay with Jesus today. Because the past ministry and stuff, just because we're raised in America and we hear an American gospel doesn't mean it's all truth. The Word of God is truth. And he's made us new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. And his mercies are new every morning, and he will show us daily, daily. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And that rock is Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. You build your foundation on him, and your house will not fall. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was his fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Not as just somebody that just writes words down, but someone who had the authority, because he had the whole kingdom of God backing him up. And when you share the gospel with other people, whether it's just sharing your testimony of what God has done for you personally, or you share with them what the Word of God says, you got the whole kingdom of God backing you up. And when you share that with people, his word will not come back void. And though you may not see the fruit of it, and you may not hear the fruit of it, and there may not have been no reaction right then, but when you speak into a life like that, and that person lays down in bed at night, God, the Holy Spirit can bring that word back to them, and God will speak to them right then. And God will keep gnawing at them. Keep picking at them. But you need to get right. You need to repent. You need to walk with Jesus. You need to become born again. Because the Holy Spirit is with you and is here on earth. And it's God's will that all men be saved. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And we're not to tolerate the works of the devil. Jesus loves you, and God has a plan for your life. I've got a long hair in my hand on this microphone. It's a common thing. Common thing. I'll be at work 4, 5, 6 hours, and then big old long hair come out of my sleeve. That's just the blessing with living with a bunch of Holy Ghost women. Y'all pray for me. Got my wife, got 4 daughters. My dog's a female, got 9 hens. I'm thankful my boy come home to see me. I love him. You know them by the fruit. And they know us by our fruit. Are we bearing good fruit? Is our light shining? It is. The fruit don't fall far from the tree, does it? But God can take that fruit and make it a plentiful harvest. And that seed will germinate and grow. Look around, and I see people that's been walking with Jesus for a little bit and for a long time, a lot longer than me, some of you. Don't be discouraged, because the people you've touched in your life, they know you love them, and God has used you to touch others, and you don't even realize it. Like my friend that I told you about, I had the son-in-law that was Narcissus. He's, like I said, he was a Baptist pastor in West Texas before he moved to Kansas City. And when I think of him, I think of wisdom. Wisdom just kind of flows out of this man of God, and he doesn't even realize it. Just conversation just flows, and he don't even realize he's ministering. It's one of the first couples we met when we started going to visiting IHOP. And was talking about the needs of the area of the ministry. And Jenny was talking to him. And he looked at Jenny and he said, "You can't minister out of need. There's always going to be need. You got to minister what the Holy Spirit shows you and calls you to do. Because if you minister out of needs, it's going to burn you out. Because there's always needs." You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you. Jesus loves you, and God has a plan for your life. I'd like to pray for you if you want prayer. I'll go ahead and dismiss at this time. Need to keep praying for Melissa Blackford. She got a bad report at the doctor about cancer, breast cancer, and they're still going to doctors and all that kind of stuff. You know, God can break that and heal that, and it could be a misdiagnosis, but Chuck's recording everything the doctor's saying. Dan Bryant, be praying for him. His feet's hurting him. I texted him this morning, said, "Miss you, bro," and he's at work. He's been back to work 3 weeks. He was off work for a time, but his feet's hurting. Pray for him. Anybody else have anything? Prayer requests want to share with everybody? I got an elbow that's been hurting me the last few days. Well, longer than that, but it intensified the last few days. What we got, brother? Caleb's cousin, Ruth, cancer. Why don't you pray for her right now? We'll agree with you. I don't like Jesus, we thank you for Ruth, and we speak to her body. We speak the life of Christ into her body, and we tell this cancer to go in the name of Jesus. This cancer, they're saying, it's all throughout her body. We just ask you, Father, just to speak your word into her body, that your breath would blow over her and blow in her, Lord, to make her new, that she become a new creation. The old is gone, that this body became a new creation by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, by the power of your blood and the power of your word and the power of your cross. We ask your kingdom come, your will be done in her body, here on earth as it is in heaven. We know there's no cancer in heaven. We just pray your healing upon her and your strength upon her. And yes, we agree with her wanting to come to David Hogan, that she'd be able to. And we just speak life and healing on her even right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? You've been bearing bad fruit and you want to bear good fruit, you can come on up to the altar and spend time with Jesus, because he'll help you out and he'll show you how to bear good fruit, because he loves you and has a plan for your life. If you need to repent of sins, get right with God, feel free to come forward. If you just need to spend time in his presence, feel free to come forward. You've got freedom here to do that. And you come to the altar, we're not here to judge, we're here to love on you and to grow with you. As Jesus is King and his kingdom advances, and his kingdom advances in you, as you yield to his leading, when I first got born again, there were some obvious things in my life that God showed me to stop, and I stopped. But as I grew in Christ and still growing in Christ, there's things that he would reveal, like people I've heard teach, that's like layers of an onion. You know, you get one layer peeled back, and then you go a level deeper, and then the Holy Spirit will show you other things. We need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking, what God is speaking into our lives, in our hearts. I don't know about you, but my shadow is not healing people. My shadow is not raising people from the dead. I got room to grow in Christ. And I need you, Jesus. I need you. Jesus is King, and Jesus is Lord. Is he King of your life? Is he Lord of your life? That's all I have. I love y'all.